It's the WNKY South Central Kentucky Weather Weekly with WNKY TV meteorologists Cody Bailey and Christy Stewart.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening and welcome into episode 7 of WNKY Weather Weekly. This is being recorded on the 7th of November and is valid for the 8th to the 14th of the next week. Again, episode 7, I'm meteorologist Cody Bailey.
And I'm meteorologist Christy Stewart.
So glad to be here again. It's the best time of the week, podcast time.
Yeah.
We have had quite the week here. We always like to start off with kind of a recap of what's happened. And man, a lot of activity in the weather world and the news world. It's been a busy week for us here at WNKY. We had that severe weather event that we were kind of looking at on last week's show as a possibility. And then the next day, we had election coverage. So it was a busy 1-2 punch here for the weather team and the news team. But yeah, we had a one severe thunderstorm warning, and then that quickly changed over to, at one point, we had 3 continuous tornado warnings at one point. But there was that one. I know we talked about it yesterday. We got that information yesterday, early this week, of the EF0 in Edmondson County. And that was, as we were covering that, we had a report of a couple of trees down at the Mammoth Cave National Park, and that is where that tornado touched down. Very briefly, too, I know you saw the stats on that. It said that it was down for less than 1 minute, so not even 60 seconds. And that was the difficulty that we often see with those spin-ups. They don't last long. They're hard to detect. And I know the Weather Service was talking earlier that day about how it's even in between radar scans is when they can drop, you know, radar about every 2 minutes or so. And obviously this was less than a minute, so it was likely a possibility that it was in between one of those radar scans. But a crazy start to the week, and now we're kind of calm, but we'll get in on our extended forecast a little bit later on. But overall, besides that one day, that one crazy day, it's been relatively quiet for the first week or so of November, despite that activity early this week.
And that was perfect timing too,
yes,
really, for that severe weather, as we had your sweeps piece that aired about the second
basically
round
what happened
of severe weather, and that's exactly what we had happen.
And I looked, it was kind of ironic, I looked, I had a like a Facebook memory pop up. I know a lot of people get those and share those. Mine was that the same date a year ago, we were under a slight risk for severe weather here in Bowling Green. So I guess Mother Nature is fairly consistent, and I just thought that was kind of ironic, and not only 2 years in a row, but also, like you mentioned, the fact that we had my story on that, and it was also, I didn't think of it until closer to the time, but there was a major outbreak, a tornado in Evansville, Indiana, kind of my home area, back in 2005, and that was the 13th anniversary of that when the story aired. So it was just kind of a lot of fall weather, severe weather related issues and events coming together on one day. It was kind of crazy.
All right, so we got to watch out for November 5th, November 6th. That's, I guess, our lucky time, I guess you could call it,
if
to
you're
get
gonna,
some severe weather.
Yeah, it seems like at least the last couple of years, if you're going to plan anything, make sure to avoid the 5th and the 6th.
Maybe go on vacation that week and then
far away from here.
Right.
So we don't have to deal with anything.
Stay away from the severe weather.
Well, that was my special report, and today, as we kind of teased ahead from last week, this week's episode is about your special report, and it's kind of extensive with a lot of research aspects to it, but a very interesting, something that I wouldn't even put together. I know you, when you teased it last week, you said kind of that irrigation affect precipitation. Kind of, I feel like a lot of people don't really think of it that way, but I'll kind of hand the reins over to you and let you explain this, because there's still a lot that I don't understand about this, or that it's seemed very research heavy, research driven. So I'll let you take it away and talk about what you found out, what your story's about, and all that.
Yeah, it was a very research heavy. Before I get into it and before I forget, if you want to go watch the special report, it is on our WNKY website. I also posted it on my Twitter page and also my Facebook page. That is at ChristyWNKY. The name of my Facebook page is Meteorologist Christy Stewart. So you can go check it out there, leave some comments, share it, you know, have a good time with it. but basically, yeah, the story was on how irrigation affects precipitation. So there were 2 students from Western Kentucky University. They're 2 senior meteorology students, as well as the Kentucky Climate Research Climate Scientist, He also went out there with those students for 2 weeks to Nebraska. So they set up a camp in Nebraska where half of the plotted area where they were taking observations was in a heavily irrigated area, and then the other half was in an area that was not irrigated to see how irrigation does affect our weather. So the theory with this is that when you put more water into the ground, as we all know, there's a water cycle that goes on and that connects to the atmosphere and stuff. So the more water that goes into the atmosphere or into the ground with the irrigation, then that eventually filters more moisture into the atmosphere that produces more clouds and more rainfall. So the reason why they did pick Nebraska was because it is the most irrigated part of the world. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, and the project that they did, the research project, is called GrainX. I don't have the acronym right here in front of me. I'm sure it's someplace in my notes. There it is, Great Plains Irrigation Experiment. I guess that makes
sense. I like
sense.
GrainX. It just sounds good.
Yeah, and GrainX, you're working with irrigated crops, so I think
exactly.
It's perfectly fitting. So yeah, they went out there and they were researching with part of GrainX, and it was those folks from WKU that I mentioned. They also had a few other universities out there, as well as NCAR, which is a research center in the meteorology world. Mm-hmm. They also had NASA help with some of their planes that went out and flew across and took some surveys of the land and did some airborne remote sensing. Basically, their focus was on the boundary layer, so that's pretty much the layer that we are feeling more at the ground, you know, where things like that happen. And they had, I believe, 60 to 65 sites set up around their plot, which their plot was 3,600 square miles of land that they had, that was of course split in the middle by, I believe it was the Big Blue River.
yes, I think it was.
Yes.
Big Blue.
Yes, Big Blue River. They had weather balloons that they sent up every day. They had the Doppler on wheels, which is basically a mobile radar unit to watch precipitation and things like that and do continuous reports on that. They also had 75 stations that collected fluxes of water and things like that. So they had quite a bit of equipment. I believe they had 6 students from those different universities. I think it was 2 from each university that they had out there at a time. And the study went, they went out there for 2 weeks, and I believe they had 1 2-week stint in the middle of May, and then they also had 1 in July. They picked those months. The middle of May is the start of irrigation, and then July is when the peak irrigation season is, so that way they could kind of track how things change throughout the year as well. Let's see, what else do we have here? I've got a ton of notes to look through, making sure I cover all the bases.
I'm gonna say,
here.
It was very research data heavy.
It was very research and data heavy. I mean, those were the basics of it. Yeah, so some of the findings, well, we can't really go over the findings yet, because the way that it works, because they collected so much data, is actually 2 terabytes of data that
wow.
they recorded just on the Doppler on wheels every day. So that's quite a bit. They have to sift through that, so you have to smooth out the raw data, basically. And that process takes about 6 months. So this happened over the summer. So starting next year in around January, February of 2019, they will finally have all of their data converted, and they will finally be able to start sifting through this and noticing those patterns and seeing exactly what we have discovered with that. But there have been a couple of other surveys, research projects done on this, on how irrigation affects precipitation. They have not been as extensive as this one has, and there were not as many organizations involved, because this was actually funded for them. So they could go more in depth and get, you know, data continuously and learning how all of that stuff works. But there have been some loose links connected to irrigation leading to more precipitation in those parts of the atmosphere. So that's what they really want to nail down, is how is that affecting that? And then that way they can go ahead and work on not only better forecasting skills for areas that are more irrigated, but also work on agricultural planning and better ways with that. And right now their focus is in Nebraska, but it will also eventually relate to us here in Kentucky as well. So in Kentucky, especially in western Kentucky, you have land surface changes, and that kind of helps mimic the role of irrigation and getting more of that water and filtered into the ground. So while, you know, irrigation is directly wetting the surface, and then here with the land surface changes, you're doing it more indirectly. And then that's just, you know, some soils are wetter than others, so that kind of mimics the same effect as that irrigation. And so because we have those land surface changes here in Kentucky, that will closely relate to their findings of what they find with their study in Nebraska with that irrigation. And then once they compare, you know, what happened in Nebraska, relate that to us locally in Kentucky, then it will be spread across the whole United States and hopefully worldwide. So it was a pretty big research project. It will be taking a while to, of course, sift through all of the data that they did collect. But I thought it was pretty interesting, and I didn't even think, you know, irrigation would likely affect precipitation.
Yeah, that's there's so many things that kind of stand out with that, like that in its own is how those two are related. I mentioned, I keep talking about how data-driven and research-heavy it was, just how many, not just as a whole, but each kind of subcategory almost. You mentioned the precipitation part of it, and they had the Doppler on wheels, and I know when I first saw that image of them going out, or some of the pictures that you had in your story, it was like, well, Doppler on wheels, why do they need Doppler when they're just, you know, going for irrigation? So it's just like,
right.
You dig deeper and then you see what all they did. So it's very impressive.
And they, they covered all the bases. They went from the ground, they had the Doppler, which, you know, that scopes a large part of the atmosphere, the boundary layer that they were really looking at. They had the NASA planes flying over and getting observations from up high. So they really covered their bases. Again, you know, they had like 60 to 65 stations set up across that area. So very, very well thought out, planned out, got a lot of data. And of course, they really wanted to participate in this because, as we all know, our population keeps growing. And as that happens, that means we're going to need more food, which means more irrigation. So it is really important to learn this link now and see how we can maybe limit those effects, or, you know, maybe plan it better. Maybe some areas that are more drought heavy, maybe they could be areas where they start farming with more irrigation and help out both areas.
That's right. And another side of it too is just overall the experience that the students get out of it. You know, the research leaders is kind of what they live for. I know you talked to the gentleman there at the Kentucky Climate Center, but for these students to get, I know for both of us, you know, for our respective fields, we're the broadcast field, and for us to get that kind of experience while in college was beneficial for what we do right now, what we do today for WNKY. But I can only imagine not just the experience overall, but having this experience to actually go towards what they want to do in their field for those all of the students involved, but obviously here locally, those two students from WKU. That's a great experience to have. Obviously something you would put on a resume, but definitely something they'll remember forever, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, they said it was an amazing experience. They were really happy that they applied for it and got chosen to go on it. It was really basically a trip of a lifetime, and as you had mentioned, the whole research thing. But yeah, those two students, we'll give them a little shout out here. That was CJ Padgett and Brandon Wazalewski. Again, they're both seniors at WKU, and they just loved it. They couldn't say more positive things. Their role, they actually manned the Doppler on wheels. So they were sitting there. They have about 5 to 7 computers in the Dow. That's what we call it for short. And they were monitoring that, making sure everything is working properly, all the equipment was going properly. And then they also got the chance to send off a few weather balloons and learn that aspect of it as well. But yeah, for the most part, their main job was the Doppler on wheels. And they pulled some long hours, depending on how the weather was. They did have some severe storms that happened, so then they had to stay a little bit later and, you know, keep monitoring that. But they had about 10 to 12 hour shifts every day.
Wow.
Yeah, so kind of long shifts, and they were kind of doing it more a little bit camping style, from my understanding, so they didn't get the luxury hotels to sleep in
right,
at night.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a worth the, you know, 15 days being out there having that great experience.
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely worth giving up maybe some otherwise quality sleep at night for
right.
the experience that they had. But
yeah, they had a great time. And then they said it was always really funny to have some of the local people driving by, and they're like, what are you doing with this giant piece of equipment in the middle of a cornfield?
Yeah, it would be kind of a shock, I guess.
Yeah.
Was there all kind of... just sum up the whole thing. Was there anything, you know, for me, the surprising thing, of course I didn't dive into the story like you did, but for me, kind of surprised, as I keep mentioning, the data side of it and the research. Was there anything in particular or overall that surprised you after you interviewed these individuals and looked into what they did? Or
I think I was just surprised at how well thought out everything was, and just like you said, you know, how much data was collected every day. I mean, 2 terabytes.
Yeah. That's
Man,
crazy.
That is a lot to go through. And then the fact that they're going to have to sit there for, I mean, I'm sure it'll take years to go through all of that and put it together into simple graphs that we can look at and
yeah.
just say, yes, this is what happened. But it was just a lot that they're going to have to be working on with all of that data that they collected. But I did think it was really cool, and I think it's great that, you know, they were thinking about researching this, and it will be very beneficial to a lot of people in the near future as mm-hmm. well.
And like you said earlier, right here in Kentucky as well, once they get what the results out of Nebraska for. So
yeah, exactly.
Seemed like a really interesting. And
yeah, I thought that was the other thing that I thought was really cool, is that even though this focused on irrigation, I didn't even think about land surface changes being
yeah.
pretty much the same thing as irrigation in a sense. So it's cool that you can relate this to areas that don't use irrigation but have different topography and things like that. So it's really applicable pretty much everywhere.
Right, yeah. So once again, you mentioned if you want to view that story, it is on our website at WNKY.com. If you follow Christy on social media, as she said earlier, she has shared that link for everyone on social media as well. So I encourage you to head to our website, WNKY.com, to visit that. And now I believe we have a question to address.
We do.
Or maybe break down and kind of in general. We got this right before we went on the air, so this is kind of breaking news in terms
right.
of our weather question this week.
But it is very relevant. It's going
yeah.
back to that severe weather that we did have on Monday night. So we had a question that came in about, how do you keep calm during when Cal goes off, which
mm-hmm.
is our tornado warning system that we have in place here. And I think that was a pretty good question, because, you know, they are pretty startling when you hear those
yeah.
sirens, and you kind of have to think about what to do.
They are, yeah, and that's kind of the one thing, you know, they do have some of their limitations. You know, that's, again, another conversation for another day, but just a perfect example, like you said, with the severe weather the other night, where we were on Facebook Live covering the storms, and we had all these questions. You know, the sirens are going off in my town. What's the latest? What's going on? So it's kind of, those sirens kind of act as that, just basically just an alert, and it kind of gets you going of, okay, well, now what? Something's obviously going on, so it forces you to reach out, look out what's going on, whether it's, you know, to different media outlets or online or whatever forms you use to do that. So that was kind of a living example of what typically they do, but obviously it is a loud tone. It's going to, in some places, you know, this could also be another episode one day too, but I actually had a professor at Ball State University who conducted her own research about phobia, like weather phobia. So people really get scared in some cases when storms roll through. So yeah, I like you. I think that is a great question of how do you stay calm. I think it's just knowing that the siren is obviously there to tell you that something's going on. But for us, you know, we're here to give that information. And again, that was just a living example on Monday where people were coming to us, hey, the sirens are going off. I live in downtown Bowling Green. What's going on? And then, of course, we're there to kind of decipher that and get more in depth. So in that scenario for us, there was this week a tornado warning for Warren County. We were getting questions for Bowling Green because those Cal sirens go off for the entire county. But it was our duty to relay to the public that, well, the warning is not for Bowling Green, so you're actually in the clear. And it's kind of that's the process, really, of the warning's going off, you reach out for and try to find additional information, and then you, based on what you receive, is what action you take or what you don't take.
Yeah, and I think how, you know, to go back to how do you actually stay calm, I think that's, I mean, obviously part of it's just how you naturally react in situations, but I think it's just good to know what you're supposed to do in that situation. So when you do hear the siren, that normally means that you are in a tornado warning, and it is either radar indicated or it's been confirmed that there's a tornado on the ground. So immediately what you should do is go to that safe place, lower level, in a closet with no windows if you don't have a basement. Mm-hmm. Of course, the basement's always the best place to go to. And then, you know, take your phone with you. We always do Facebook Lives, posting on social media, check things out there, or, you know, take a laptop, whatever means that you can, take a weather radio, something, turn it on. Even, you know, the TV, if you still have service, I guess, because sometimes that gets knocked out. But yeah, you know, so get to the safe place, then get the information of what's going on, and then that way you can determine when it's safe to come out of that safe environment, or, you know, just the main priority is your safety. So that way, you know, I always think it's best to go to the safe place first instead of trying to figure out what's going on, because you don't, I mean, with tornadoes, you don't know how long you have. It could be seconds, could be not even in your area, but...
Better to err on the side of caution as opposed to taking the time on the upstairs level or something if you are in the path of storms. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of an interesting question and allowed us to kind of break down also what to do when those sirens go off. So hopefully we won't have to deal with that for quite some time. We are still in the fall season, but as we transition to the next segment of our show, we are starting to see some big changes in our forecast that would support or... lack thereof, would not support severe weather. It would kind of go the opposite direction. It looks like what our temperatures are doing. We started that cool down after those storms rolled through. It's a pretty powerful frontal system, and it's just going to keep going down for the rest of the week. I know. I don't know. I think more people. I kind of get the sense that people enjoy the cool but still fall temperatures, but we're going to be on the cool borderline winter temperatures here coming up. So I get the impression that people are not going to be happy overall, maybe, with with what's headed our way, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like Saturday is going to be pretty cold for us. That's going to be, as you mentioned, temperatures gradually dropping. It looks like we will be bottoming out on Saturday with our, right now it's forecast for those high temperatures to only be in the mid-40s. Now, that's pretty cold. Our average low for this time of year is in the low 40s, so having a high temperature that cold is...
it's not appealing.
I don't think I'm ready for that.
No.
And that means that our overnights are going to be getting even colder than that. It looks like Saturday night will be dropping down to the mid-20s, so even colder. I think that maybe will warrant for breaking out those winter jackets already.
Yeah, but hey, the good news, it's going to look nice on Saturday.
That's true.
That's
lots of positive, sunshine, you know? I mean, that's good. And then temperatures will climb slightly.
A little,
a couple degrees on Sunday will be a little bit warmer. Then, you know, then we have another frontal system that moves through beginning of next week, and that'll be cooling us back down to those low 40s, which is forecast now, which is a whole week out. So we know things might be changing, and depending on how that system moves, of course. But yeah, it's looking like we'll be a little bit chilly.
A little bit, yeah. So like I mentioned, if you're not a fan of the very cold temperatures, or at least the cold temperatures out of season, then you're not going to really be happy, I don't think, with this forecast. But I know there are some people who just die. I have a couple in my families who are just diehard winter people. They, for whatever reason, love the cold. They love it when it snows, and they're just bring it on, is what I've heard for a few people. But I think the majority speaks, and the majority says, where'd fall go?
Yeah, I think I would be happy with staying with our average temperatures. Our average high temperature for this time of year is in the mid-60s. We're well below that for this week.
We're going to be a little bit below.
Yeah, I would rather keep it in the mid-60s, but unfortunately, Mother Nature has some other plans for us, so...
So that is that's what we're looking at for the next week. Of course, as Christy mentioned, that will likely change as of this recording. So, as always, you stay tuned with us on air, online, as this forecast continues to change. And then, of course, we'll probably be talking about something crazy that didn't happen or did happen that we didn't have that far out last week for next week's episode. So you never know. It's crazy.
Exactly.
That was the same situation with the sphere weather last week. It looked possible, then kind of, bam, here it is.
Yeah. And one thing that we didn't mention in this forecast, of course, again, as we mentioned, it might change, but... Mm-hmm. There have been some mentions of a few flurries possible.
Yes.
Monday night, we will be seeing some rain, and it is possible that we'll be seeing some flurries as well as we drop down to those low 30s for temperatures that night. So I'm definitely not ready for that.
No, not yet. Yeah, it looks like the temperatures are definitely going to be cold enough. The question right now is, will there be anything in the area at the time that those temperatures fall to that level? So that's the question, and that's, again, another reason to stay with us over the next several days as we get a handle on that. But, yeah, just a sign of the pattern, the sign of the times that are coming, and
yeah,
we're pulling down.
And since we are already bringing in the snow word, or flurries word, I should say, that brings us into what we'll be talking about next week.
Yes, that's right. There have been, of course, I know I follow a couple other weather pages on their own, but this one obviously from the NOAA, we use them a lot. Of course, your weather radios, NOAA, Weather Service, a function of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they have recently released their outlook for the winter season. I've seen a couple of winter outlooks that have already changed. From one, you know, I was reading one last night from a fellow meteorologist that I follow pretty closely, and his has changed pretty drastically since he released his original forecast in October. He released his updated one this past week, early November, and it's completely different than what he expected. So we'll be diving into what NOAA thinks they'll say. May look at some of the long-range climate models to see what those are saying, to see how that lines up with anything, and then may take a look at some other ones that we had to kind of dive into. So it's going to be maybe appropriate for the temperatures next week, a winter type of feel and a winter-related episode for episode 8 of next week. So I'm excited to look into that. I haven't really dug into what the report was. I kind of glanced at the headline, looked at what they were showing, and that was it. So I'm excited to kind of dive into it and
get ready for winter. And start looking into some of those longer range models. And I mean, you know, we're right around that time of year when it would be appropriate to kind of look at what we might think winter is going to look like.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, that'll be for next week. Mm-hmm. So tune in to get your winter outlook and, you know, see how that
get the
is
winter
going.
On.
Yes, exactly. I think that's pretty much good for this episode.
Yeah, so again, we had that one question right before we went on the air. If you want to send us your questions, you can do so via email. You can email your questions, your show suggestions, or topic discussion ideas to weather@wnky.com. That will go to the entire weather staff here at WNKY, and we will answer those questions. And if there are some topic suggestions, we'll hopefully make those part of our episodes here moving forward. But yeah, that will wrap up today's edition of WNKY Weather Weekly for episode 7. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 8, again, all about winter forecasts for the 2018-2019 winter season. So that'll be 1 week from now. So
yes, and of course, if you missed our special reports on air, they are on the website on WNKY.com, so make sure that you do check those out. And you can even send us questions if you have on those reports as well, and we can answer those next week too. Yeah, other than that, thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.
I'm meteorologist Cody Bailey.
And I'm meteorologist Christy Stewart.